about 4-hour sermon, so I appreciate that, brother. I mean, I thought the most dangerous place was earlier, because anytime a Baptist preacher stands between Baptist people and a buffet, it's a dangerous situation. But I think I may have found even a worse one now. I'm standing between Baptist people and their nap time, so y'all pray for me. Yeah, they'll go ahead and do it. All right, okay. Amen. Amen. I had a guy lean over and said, I got a pretty long sermon this morning. He said, if I go over some, is it okay? And I said, well, you know, you can go as long as you want. He said, really? I said, yeah. Now, we're all leaving at noon, but you can go as long as you want. Everybody's going to get up and walk out because they're going to follow me. But Genesis chapter 8, I've enjoyed the testimonies too. You know, you hang around a place and you all have been out enough vacation time visiting other churches, maybe visiting family, and you know that this is true. You know, sometimes you have a church building with church members, and then sometimes you have a church family. And not every church is comprised of a church family. It should be. I think biblically it's the way it ought to be, but sometimes it just never achieves that. And what I heard up here was brothers and sisters, you know, having fun with each other like a family would, teasing each other like a family would, expressing love and appreciation to each other like a family would. And so you got something good going here. All right. You got something good going here. And, you know, this is a unique church, too, because I was sitting back there thinking, I don't do well with people coming and going. And I mean that because, as a pastor, you give your heart. And I thought, I don't know if I could pastor in a military town, military city. And I understand that's part of your ministry. Brother, that's got to be hard. You know, see these sweet families come in. About the time you fall in love with them, they get deployed somewhere else. But it takes a special church to be able to do that. And so, you know, we have to kind of make up our mind. And I had to remind some of our men this lately. I said, listen, if somebody comes one time, one service, let's be a blessing to them. If they come for 1 month and then they leave, let's be a blessing to them. If they come for a year, let's be a blessing to them. If they come for 40 years, let's try to be a blessing to them. I think if you just make up your mind, anytime somebody walks in the door, no matter, we're not going to judge how long they're here, how short they're here, and decide whether or not they can be part of a family. I just love them. Just love people. Because that's what somebody did to that young man, and you know what? It meant the world to him. Woo! This is good. And with all the coming and going, I guess also, I was impressed with the fact that, you know, you have some of that because of the necessity of the type of church and where you're at. But, man, doesn't that make those folks that have been here 30, 40 years, you know, I mean, 25, 30, 35 years, wow, mainstays, that's pretty important. All right, very good. Let's go to the end of the chapter, Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. And the Bible says here, Noah building an altar unto the Lord. All right, stop. Where are we at here? Well, flood's over. They've been on the ark for quite some time. And finally, God says it's time. And he opens the door. And so Noah gets off the ark. And this is where we find him. Noah building an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And then the Lord said this, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Well, I came up here and flew into Fairbanks, talked to those folks about what kind of winter you had. And I've come down here and I've heard a lot of talk about what kind of winter you had. And God told me, preach this subject tonight or this afternoon. Summer's coming. Summer is coming. You don't believe it? Summer is coming. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, I can be an encouragement to God's people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to God's creation, what the world calls nature, what I call God's creation. When it comes to God's creation, the one consistent attribute is change. Oftentimes we grow weary of whatever season we're in. I hope that you already understand this sermon's much more bigger than the seasons of the year. But oftentimes we grow weary of the season we are in. Those who love the Christmas season soon wish for it above the fall time chill. Those who love the return of the robin soon grow weary of the wintertime snow and cold, and I think that's where everybody is at here. Those who long for summer are soon wishing away springtime blooms, and those who love the fall colors are soon praying for the summer heat to give way to autumn days, and it seems like that's how we cycle in life. And the seasons come and the seasons go. In this story, Noah and his family have just spent a great deal of time in the ark. In the ark. Think about that. The question of how long Noah remained on the ark has been a topic of study and I think enduring interest. Scripture presents a detailed timeline encompassing God's command to get into the ark and then the rise of the waters and the eventual disembarking. The account is primarily found in Genesis 6 through 8, and I guess you could break it into maybe these stages, the entering into the ark, Genesis 7, verse number 11. And the Lord shut the door, 40 days of rain. By the way, it's not just the rain coming down from above. It's the fountains of the deep bursting asunder from beneath. And we find that, Genesis 7, 12, Genesis 7, 13, 17. So we have the 40 days of rain, and then the waters prevailing upon the earth. Genesis 7, 24 states the waters prevailed upon the earth for 150 days. This happened as the rain fell and the fountains of the deep broke forth. This period of 150 days includes the initial 40 days of rain plus the additional time the water lingered at its peak level. And then you have it broke down into this stage, the waters receding. So once the downpour ceased, the waters begin to drain. The ark eventually comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Genesis 8, 4. And from that resting place, the waters continue to recede for several more months. The final drying period where he releases the birds, two different species. And then finally in Genesis 8, 13, the surface of the ground had dried. And then God gives him permission to come off of the ark. When these times are tallied, it seems like most people that spent the time studying this says sometimes, think about this, folks. This is a real story of real people. Sometimes we read the Bible as if it is a fable or a fairy tale. These are eight people that were on this boat for 370 to 377 days. Now think about that. 377 days. Just over a year from the moment Noah entered until he left. I think we could all agree that whether it was 370 or 377 days, by the time they were allowed to disembark, they were no doubt sick of being on that boat. Seems like about this time of year, we're very tired of the season that we're in. Matter of fact, boy, this is a hard place to preach this message because I was going to tell you, the beginning of last February, folks, our folks were really tired of winter. But in Indiana, by the 1st of February, they're just tired. I mean, we've had some days down in single digits numbers. I'm just not feeling it. I'm in the wrong place. I'm going to try to sell this. I mean, one time we had over 6 inches of snow in 1 week. In 1 week. I should just quit now. This is going nowhere. Alaskan people tell me, you know what we call February around here when it comes to winter? A good start. That's what we call it around here. But I think it is especially true no matter where you live of this time of year. You know, I hear that y'all have received more snow, more cold than a normal Alaskan winter. I had a young preacher ask me in a question and answer time one time at a Bible college, Brother Ross, how do you get your church to prosper during the winter time? I just started laughing. I told him I've never been able to achieve that. We do not thrive in the winter. We survive the winter. So if you got any secrets for me, let me know. But I just feel like we survived it. We're good. You know, an older man walked in my church, 87 years old, 1st of February. And I said, Brother Estill, Is winter ever going to be over? Springtime coming? Is summer going to get here? And he said, well, I've lived here for 87 years, and for the past 86, he said, preacher, it's always come. I suppose it will now. It's good to have somebody give testimony of their human experience, but I have something that's a little more solid than that, because God's word tells me summer's coming. He told Noah, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Amen. Folks, I think we can say summer's coming. Summer's coming. I'm not just talking about the weather. You know, there's different seasons of life. There's different times you have to go through some things where you get to the point where you say probably what they were saying on the ark at some point. Are we ever going to get out of here? Is this ever going to be over? Is this ever going to be over? And I want to just, I guess, come up for just a few minutes this afternoon and maybe bring a little encouragement. Summer is coming. Preacher, are you sure? Yeah, we got on a plane and left it. So hopefully it's slowly following us up here. We do this every year when we come up at this time of the year. I promise you, I think God has a sense of humor. It finally breaks. We finally have a stretch of good weather predicted for the week ahead, and Jerry Ross gets on a plane and flies to Alaska. I don't know what's wrong with me. But we're talking about not just the weather. All across the congregation, thank you for loving each other. Thank you for caring for each other. Let me remind you, never stop watching out for each other. Because over the course of the history of the church, you're going to watch different people, individuals, and different families sometimes just go through a season that can be something that they didn't ask for, didn't want, and just sometimes they get the point and say, will this ever be over? And so I'm going to give you some things that I think we can learn from Noah and his family. If you're going through an extra hard season of life, maybe I can give you some things that will give you a little bit of hope this afternoon before we go to the house. Number one, listen, there are worse places you could be. There are worse places you could be. Think about this, 370 plus days on a boat. 370 plus days on a boat. You say, preacher, where do you think these eight people were by the time they were on the boat that long? I can tell you this, the women were fussing at each other. There ain't no way you're going to put four grown women in the same boat for 370 days and everything always goes smooth. But it's not just the women. The men were probably sick of looking at each other. And by the way, when you've been confined into something that God's put you into for a while, by the way, wasn't it for their own good? Wasn't it for their own good? But you know, that don't mean that just because what you're going through is for your own good that it's always easy. And you know, I think at some point in time, I'll have to ask them when we get them all together up there, but don't you think someone at some point might have said something like this? I wish I was anywhere other than on this ark. Now, wait a minute, did you just hear that? Because there is another option. They say, and again, I don't know, I guess this is right. Google told me it was, so surely AI confirmed it, so... They estimate, there was about 200 million people at the time of the flood. Folks, think about this for a minute. 200 million people at the time of the flood. Now, folks, how many were on the boat? And, I wish I was anywhere else but here. Wait a minute. There was a lot of people. You better hear this. There's a lot of other people that wish that they were where you were. Because there was another option. And if we're not careful when we're going through the hard seasons of life, folks, we can say some pretty silly things. Come on, help me now. And we can say some things that really don't make any sense in the light of God's will or in the light of God's word. And let me just say, extend grace to people that are going through hard times, because I've gone through them, you've gone through them, and sometimes when you're under the pressure cooker of whatever God's trying to do in your life, you can say some things that probably are very faithless. Never be too judgmental until you've gone through a similar thing. Maybe you ought to extend a little grace one to another. So I get it, but I find out this when when I'm going through some difficult things, I found out one of the best ways to help me get through it is to realize this. Come on, folks. You can always find somebody that's got it rough, more rough than you do. You can always find somebody that's going through something harder than you are. You know, think about that. I think 3.5, matter of fact, we were up here in Alaska. And we'd come up to do a revival meeting or, I don't remember what, family camp. The week I discovered that I had, went back home and got diagnosed with cancer. Special Sunday. And we also got away for a little bit anniversary trip, and yet the whole time I was having abdominal pain and couldn't figure it out. You know how us men are. You know, they ran an entire ad campaign to try to wake men up and to get them to pay attention and go in and see doctors. So they had billboards all across the lower 48 and they said this, most men will die of stubbornness. And they took a picture of one of these billboards. Some guy had climbed up, took red ink spray paint and said, no, we won't. I don't know who it was, but I was so proud of that guy, you know. But I got, you know, things going on in your body and you make excuses, probably just this. And then it really intensified when we were up here. And I literally landed in Alaska, got in my vehicle, and drove to Terre Haute for an MRI, and then was trying to get home and got a call from the doctor, and he said, where are you? And when the doctor calls you and says, where are you? I'm just out of town. You need to come, turn around and come back. And they don't usually make that call to give you good news, okay? Now, folks, listen to me. I mean, here we are, three-plus years later. It'll be 4 years this August, and, you know, I've been battling cancer. I often tell you we've been battling cancer because, let me tell you something, that woman right back there has gone through every step with me. And everybody tells how you're doing. I'm doing great. I haven't had a cancer treatment in 2 years. I got one doctor says I'm in remission, and another one says, no, you're not. You're in partial remission. So if they can't agree, don't ask me where I'm at. I have no idea, except I know this. I haven't had any kind of cancer treatment for 2 years, and every day I get up and I serve the Lord and I get to do what I need to do and I get to do God's will. And if I didn't know I had cancer, I wouldn't know I had cancer. So don't you worry about it. Yeah, that much. Don't you realize, well, preacher, don't you know you're dying? Look right up here. Don't you all know you're dying? We all dying. If we can worry so much about dying, we quit living. But having said that, with bravado, there's the dark times. There's the times of doubt and questioning. I've never said, why me? I will tell you that. I haven't got it all right, but I've never said, why me? Because first time I was tempted to, the Lord whispered, well, would you rather it be your wife? How about one of your kids? Grandkid? No, Lord, sorry, just right here. Come on, man, we got broad shoulders right here. I'll take it. I can do it. And yet, you know, during that time, folks, where I've battled cancer, I will tell you this. I've had the opportunity to minister to a lot of people that were in a lot worse shape than I am. This is not a ministry I wanted, didn't intend to sign up for. But there's hardly a week where my phone don't ring. You know why? Because cancer touches every family out there, folks. Come on now. And, you know, I don't know how many preachers or preachers' wives or somebody from somebody's church, and the phone will ring, and you don't know me, Pastor Ross, but we just got home from the doctor, and we don't even know how to think, and our preacher said to call you, and so what's going on? Well, we just got home. I don't even know how to think. We just got diagnosed with, and I'm like, how you doing? We don't even know how we're doing yet. I said, listen to me. It's okay not to be okay for a while. Now, how do you know to say that? Because I had to live it. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? If you want to, you can sit. Come on, look right up here. You can sit down in your pew and stink the place up. And you can send out all the invitations to all the entire church to come and attend your pity party. Or you could go find someone that's got a little harder than you do. And I will tell you, one of the saving graces that will help you to accept and rejoice in the will of God is about the time they wanted off that boat. Maybe they ought to think about the almost 200 million people that didn't get a chance to get on that boat. Hey, are you a Christian? Then no matter what you're going through, you got it better than most. Come on, is heaven your home? One preacher told me the other day this I thought was so funny. He said, you know, I used to pray that you'd get healed. And I quit praying that. I thought, well, thank you. He said, because probably the best way for you to be healed, I mean totally healed, is for you to die of cancer. So I quit saying, heal Pastor Ross, and I started praying, take the cancer from him. I said, okay, I'll take that. There's more places you could be. Number two, you'll not always be in this season of life forever. You will not always be in this season of life forever. There was a lady that attended our church for many years, a widow lady by the name of Mrs. Fulkerson, that honestly, folks, had a lot of heartache in her life, a lot of hard things that she had to endure in her life. Look right up here. And yet was the happiest. I can still just see Mrs. Fulkerson's smile. I can't imagine her face without a smile on it. So I would go see her to encourage the widows. By the way, that is pure religion. Let's not forget. Come on, church. We've got a very pointed and purposeful responsibility to minister to the widows of every congregation. But I would go to see her to be a blessing. Come on, how many times have we done that? And you know what? You walk out thinking I was more blessed than I was a blessing. We go to her house, me and Cheryl sometimes. She always kept cookies frozen in the freezer. You say, frozen cookies? Yeah, she'd bake a bunch of them, freeze them. We'd come in, she'd pull them out of the freezer. Well, how do you eat frozen cookies? Well, she'd make coffee also. Come on. Start thinking, folks, all right? Frozen cookie dipped in coffee is awesome. It's awesome. That's how you thaw them out like that. And you take a bite. And we would be trying to ask after her, and she was more interested. Boy, this is, come on, folks. She would be more interested in asking after us. And sometimes, come on, don't forget your preacher and your pastor's wife. They're human too. All those missionaries, they're human too. And every once in a while she'd catch us when we're going through something pretty difficult. Maybe we'd open up a little bit to her. And she would reach over with those old gnarled hands. She'd grab my hand. She'd pat. You ever have one of these old lady pat your hand while they're talking to you? You know? She'd pat my hand. And she'd listen to me. And then she'd say, preacher, listen, folks. Don't forget what I'm going to say next. Preacher, this too will pass. And she'd just smile. This too will pass. Think about that, folks. Hey, you know, I know it's a long time on that ark, Noah, but this too will pass. Mrs. Noah, I'm sure you're frustrated, but this too will pass. You know, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Many of you are already thinking through and looking back at seasons of your life that were very difficult, and you thought at the time you'd never get out of it, but you know what? His grace was sufficient, and here you are. I like that song, The Sun's Coming Up in the Morning. Do you know that gospel song? Once again, I face Satan this morning, and I battle him all the day long, but in my weakness, God sent reinforcements, and at sundown, I'll sing victory's song. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old place is going to give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. I like that second verse. In a world, and this is where we live, in a world filled with doubts and confusion. It's so hard when you don't understand. But I'll stand on a solid foundation. And I'll hold to an unchanging hand. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Preacher, what are you doing? I think in every church there's probably a few people that feel like you've been stuck on whatever ark God's asked you to get into for a while. Hey, don't despair. Okay, listen. This too will pass. The sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This whole place is going to give way to glory like an eagle I'll take to the sky. Let me remind you this also. this season, whatever season you're going through, especially if it's a difficult one, it will look different through the prism of your memory. I see some saintly, white-headed Christians going, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? It's going to look different in through the prism of your memory. Okay, we're talking about blizzards. I'm going to try again, brother. I'm going back to Indiana. An Indiana winter. Something maybe are a little comparable. But we did have more snow than we normally have. And we had colder days than we normally have. And some of the young people were coming in muttering about it. Now, the one thing you don't want to do it, if we have a hard winter in southern Indiana, is bring it up near any older people. Because once you start talking about how bad the winter is, or anybody visiting from Fairbanks or Anchorage, but even Indiana people, no matter how bad the winter is, somebody will say, oh, wait a minute. You think this one's bad. You should have been here during the blizzard of 78. Southern Indiana, the blizzard of 78. I think we got 8 inches of snow in that one, but no, you can Google it, and it's legit. It looks like pictures from Anchorage. I promise you, it was legit. And so how old was I? In 1978, I was in my senior year getting ready to graduate. And so what did you guys do? We all got snowed in because nobody knows how to deal with it down there. And now everybody's truck is buried, and they can't get the roads hardly clear, and so, you know, we're all teenage boys, and after about 24 hours of this, we're calling each other on the phone. We pull out our cell phones. We call each other on the, okay, not in 1978, all right? We go over to the wall, and we do this number, and we call each other, and what are you doing? I don't know. I'm going crazy. What do you want to do? I don't know. Can you get your truck out? I think so. Will it start? I don't know. Well, come over and pull my truck out. And then, you know, we had to get out. Now, what does a bunch of Baptist boys do once they go out? We head to the church, you know. And so, because we knew how to break into the back door of the church. Oh, okay. All right. Come on. All these Baptist brats around here, they know how to. You think you have this place locked, brother. Let me tell you something. There's not a Baptist brat in here who don't know how to get into this church if they really need to. So we went around to the one door we could break into. The problem is that the wind had come from that direction, and the double glass doors on the basement was buried. I mean, you didn't even know there was a door there. But we're teen guys, and we want to get in the church. Why? Well, I had to read. I'll tell you. So we get our shovels, and we get on top. We start digging these two doors out. We get all the way down, and we got about that much of it. And one of the guys drops in there. I almost told you how to break into my church. All right, we reach in, and we push the plunger down with a knife. And then we open the back door, and we scoot in like that. Why all that work to get into a church basement? Because there was a ping pong table down there. This is all we had. We're Baptists. Okay. There's a whole lot of options when it comes to having fun. There was a ping pong. The next 8 hours, bro, we played ping pong tournament after ping pong tournament. We raided the church kitchen, anything. I don't care, you know, a bag of chips that had been there since Noah got off the ark. We raided all the Sunday school rooms, stole all the prizes. And, I mean, we're just having a party. So somebody comes to me and says, boy, were you there? Were you alive in the blizzard of 78? Oh, yeah, I was. And they said, was it bad? Yeah, I guess. What did you do? Played ping pong? That's my memory. What was it cold? Yeah. Did you shovel a lot of snow? Yeah. Did you have to pull each other's truck out of the ditch? Yeah. You know what I remember now? We played ping pong. Now, folks, listen to me. We don't grow a whole lot on the mountaintop, but we'll grow a lot in the valley. Come on, the honest truth is, I think all of us would say, probably I got closer to God during the hard times than I did during the easy times. And so when you get past whatever season you're in, you'll look back, and I will promise you this. It's not that it didn't hurt. It's not that it wasn't hard. But you're going to look at it different once you see what God does to you as you come out of that. Let me give you one more thing. We'll be done here, all right? Number four. No matter what season of life you're facing, at the end of your life, you'll be glad that you stayed faithful to the Lord. Preacher, you've seen it. I've seen it. These church members, come on. Those of you that have been in this thing a while, you've all seen it. Where somebody is asked by God to go through a difficult season, and right in the middle of that difficulty, they lose their faith and they quit on God. And I just want to say this. Don't do that. Don't do that. No matter what hard thing you go through, stay faithful to the Lord. Just within a few miles of my house, my mom and dad's buried, okay? And I went there the other day, and I go by the cemetery pretty regularly. On the way home from church to get to my house, it's a little one-mile jog over to Peavy Cemetery, and sometimes I'll get down to Bogle Corner, and I need to go straight to go to my house, and the car will turn right, and I'll get about halfway down there and realize that I guess God wanted me to go see mom and dad. And so I'll stand and visit them there and visit with them there. And you say, well, what do? I talk to them. Oh, so you're praying to your dead parents. Shut up. I'm ministering to my heart, okay? Do you think they hear you? I know God hears me. And I know where they're at. They're with God. So get your theology out of my face and let me go heal my heart a little bit. So I go talk to them. And I was standing there the other day and, you know, dad's on the right-hand side, mom's on the left-hand side, and there's these little vases on either side. And they put dad's life verse over here, 1 Corinthians 15:58, and they put mom's, just the reference of her life verse, Philippians 4:13. And I've known their life verses forever. But I'm standing there, right there, with their names on the stone, and I'm looking at their life verses. And all of a sudden, God said, that's where you got to grow up. I said, what? That's where you got to grow up. Folks, I got to grow up in between Philippians 4:13 and 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know the verses? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Mama's last life verse. Hey, if you're a preacher's wife, this is a good life verse, all right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Wow. And all of a sudden I thought to myself, you know what? I got to grow up. I'm talking about these second, third generation Christians. You've been given something that my mom and dad didn't have. And I thought I got to grow up between Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then my dad's life verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a pretty good place to grow up. So I've got a mom and dad that endured a lot of hard things as first generation Christians. And they grabbed a couple verses and held on for dear life. And they were faithful to the end. And they are hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And they ran their race, fought their fight, finished the course, kept the faith. And here I am growing up between I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me and be therefore steadfast, unmovable. And I'm going to get into a little tough time and throw my hands up and quit on Jesus. No, sir. No, sirree. And I want you all to look at me and I want you to hear this preacher. I don't care what you're going through. It's not an excuse to quit on God. Jesus quit on you. He quit on you. Okay, you think about everything he went through. I mean, the path of blood from that post where he was ripped almost asunder. That path of blood that he left all the way up on top of to that cross. And those three nails. And you know what? He didn't quit. And he, by the way, he could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to do it. He didn't quit. He finished his race. He came and completed the will of his Father. And so, if you're beating on the sides of the inside of the ark and say, preacher, I'm going to lose my mind. And is there ever going to be an end to this? Yes. By the way, there's a lot of people that would trade places with you compared to what they're facing. And by the way, you know what? It's going to look different once you get past it. And by the way, no matter what you're going through, don't you quit on God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. thank you that this promise was given, and I think very purposefully, at the end of the flood. And Lord, you gave them some promises. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And Solomon, at the end of his life, reminds us that there are times and there are seasons for everything. They come, they go, but you have made everything beautiful in your time. And so, Lord, as we navigate life and we go through the different seasons of life, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The times when we don't feel like we can make it, we just square ourselves up and push our shoulders back and say, I can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Come alongside, Lord, maybe that individual that's just going through dark valley, deep waters, dark valley, or deep waters. And Lord, it's not easy sometimes. But I pray, dear God, that you give them hope this afternoon. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Still with heads bowed and eyes closed. What a tremendous message and encouragement to you. This too shall pass. There are times when you're in the midst of it, you just can't see that. You just can't see the end of it. That's why you keep those eyes on God. It is so true. One day, it will be in the past. That's, by the way, I want you to think about that. That's regardless if you stay faithful or not. What you want to be is when you're through it, to know, I didn't quit. I didn't quit. Life is about God. We trust Him. Father, bless this invitation, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. 2:45. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come and pray? 2:45.